Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Milton running for his life. All kinds of flags, all kinds of activity.
Very
Milton
nice.
Fires to the end zone.
Oh, man.
And it is caught. Yeah, Douglas for the touchdown. Now we'll see if it's coming back.
It's coming back, but what a highlight play. What a job from Milton. It just fires a laser.
Holding, number 70 offense. 10-yard penalty from the previous spot.
Classic Spiro and Arch game.
Over under 4.5 Spiro and Arch games for the Patriots this season.
God, I hope under, but I would wager on over.
Yeah.
Because early in the year, they're going to have so many predetermined Spiro. Hopefully, you're getting them early in the year and not late.
Right.
Hopefully, they play their way out of Spiro and Arch.
Right. Because they haven't put the schedule out yet.
No.
We don't know how many primetime games. Probably one.
Well, I think you have to get one, but like a
no,
real.
No, they got rid of that.
That's not
I
a thing
they
anymore?
Got rid of it. I don't think you have to play Thursday night. Okay. I think they still spread it around. But yeah, I think they have one international game, right? Don't they play over?
Yep.
Europe somewhere. So that won't be Spiro
you're
and Arch.
Saved. You're rescued from Spiro
yeah.
and Arch for that one.
But I think there's a little bit more positivity. But they usually map it out as the season goes on. So you get out to a slow start, you better bet your bottom dollar Spiro Dedis is on the call.
So two items here. As Joe Milton, if you're just tuning in, got dealt earlier today by the Patriots to the Dallas Cowboys. We've been breaking it down here all day long on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We'll mix in some thoughts on the Red Sox coming up. We'll also get back to what the Patriots are doing at number four. I heard Greg a couple of different times while they were discussing Shimes mock play a clip from Burt Breer where basically it's sounding more and more like Campbell and Hunter are going in the top three. So who are you taking at four? We'll get to that coming up. One text here, 617-779-7937. You guys are ridiculous for wanting them to hold on to Milton. You act like he's Steve Young, spelled J-U-N-G. Maybe that's...
Steve Jung?
Maybe that's...
Is that the guy from the movie Blow?
Yeah. Oh,
is that him?
From Weymouth?
Yeah, Johnny Depp.
Yeah. He's just sitting on the bench. He came in for one game. No, it's just, if all you're getting is a fifth, here's how Phil Perry put it.
Yeah, this is the thing. If they traded him today for a third-round pick, you and I would be like, great, good return.
Yeah.
Like, what's next?
We weren't saying don't trade him.
We got nothing for him.
If you're getting a worthless return, what was the point?
Yeah,
so here's how Phil put it. Per the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, which is...
still.
People say outdated, but everyone references it.
They use it all the time.
You need some kind of reference point between teams. Joe Milton was taken last year with a 6, which is worth 14 points on the trade chart.
Okay.
The Patriots have 3 7s. Okay, they're worth 4, 2, and 1. Dallas had 2 comp picks worth 23 and 22 points. It looks like one game out of Joe Milton, the value was increased by half a round. So out of one game for Joe Milton, you moved up half a round. I guess very technically you could look at that as an improvement. You got more for Milton than you put into it. But I would look at it and say, if all we're doing is moving up a half round on the value chart,
yeah,
I'd rather work with the kid for another year. And A, maybe you have something if May gets hurt. And B, maybe he flashes again in the preseason, and next offseason you can get a fourth or a third for him, which would be good business.
Yeah, I don't know how not liking the trade means we think that they never should have traded him or that he is going to be an amazing player. It's just more,
yeah.
Isn't it better value? If it's all about value, right? as the Bare Naked Ladies once told us, if it, in fact it's all about value,
yes,
wouldn't you just keep Joe Milton as the – doesn't he have more value backing up Drake May and seeing what he could turn into up the draft slightly?
That's what I think.
I think so, too. Also, Drake May started 12 games last year, got hurt in two of them.
One of them he didn't return, the other he did.
Yeah, but even ask yourself, knowing that Joe Milton played against a bunch of backups, I get it. We all watched that game. We talked about it. We're mad that they won that game. If Drake May goes down, who would you rather see, Josh Dobbs or Joe Milton?
For a game, like the second half, maybe Dobbs. And maybe if it's a week or two, Dobbs. But longer term?
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'd rather see Milton. And I hope they draft a quarterback
I know the owner does.
Yeah, well, for sure. I hope they draft a quarterback now. In round 6 or 7, some developmental guy to replace the Joe Milton development.
Well, what day are we doing quarterbacks?
Oh, good question. Hang on.
We're going to do quarterbacks on our Jones and Keefe draft preview.
I can answer that for you.
Because now it's a little bit juicier.
It's running backs tomorrow.
Okay.
We're going to do quarterbacks on Wednesday of next week.
All right. So, obviously, there'll be the top tier guys that, you know, hopefully go in the first round and push some good players down the board. But after that, maybe the Pats do dip in there.
More tweets here. Okay. Jordan Schultz, son of CEO of Starbucks.
Ian Rappaport.
Howard Schultz trying to fight Ian Rappaport. He says, my understanding is since Joe Milton became available at the start of the offseason, teams that showed interest included the Raiders, the Eagles, the Giants, the Steelers, and the Cowboys. The Patriots had a better offer for Milton.
What?
But chose to send him where he wanted to go out of respect, per source.
If that's true, that's also dumb.
I don't believe that for even one second.
I feel like that's so dumb.
I mean, right, either Joe Milton's... So Joe Milton wouldn't want to go to the Giants with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston?
Or the Raiders?
Or the Steelers, who don't even have a quarterback? I mean, I assume they're going to get Aaron Rodgers, but like...
Wait, you said the Steelers were on that list?
Yes.
Oh.
Raiders, Eagles, Giants, Steelers, Cowboys. If
it's
Eagles or Cowboys, he doesn't want to go back up Jalen Hurts. I get it.
You have a Dak Prescott.
Yeah, and Kenny Pickett, by the way. Did Kenny Pickett go for more than this guy? What did Kenny Pickett go for, actually? Can you look that up?
Yeah.
I think it was the same. I think he went for a fifth and they had to throw in DTR, I think. But it's like, I don't know, Kenny Pickett stinks. We know Kenny Pickett stinks. Joe Milton at least has some theoretical upside. I think Pickett went for a fifth.
Yeah, fifth round pick and... Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Yeah, so that's probably
pick number 164.
Probably
so right around there.
Probably similar. So
yeah, I mean,
I don't buy for it. I mean,
but that's insane. If they did him a favor, he's on the team for 1 year, and they're like, we'll take a bad return. We could have gotten more, but
also,
we'll send you off to Dallas.
Also, what does that mean? Pittsburgh's drafting at 155, and the Cowboys are drafting at 158, and they did him a solid, and it was three spots, like something like that. I'd buy.
Yeah.
But I doubt they were like, Dallas is offering us a fourth. I'm sorry, the Pittsburgh's offering us a fourth. We're going to take the fifth from Dallas to do him a solid.
Yeah,
that's garbage.
I'm not buying that.
Maybe it was a couple of draft spots, and he's a moron if he'd rather go to Dallas than Pittsburgh. Like, so, that's on him.
Hopefully
that's
not true, but don't say that Schultz is wrong, because he will show up here and try to fight you.
That's a good point.
So don't say that.
That's a good point.
Take him at his word.
I didn't say he was wrong. I didn't necessarily buy it.
That sounds like wrong.
I guess we're back into a gain net situation.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess we're back there. One more item, and then we can get to your phone call. 617-779-7937. Just reiterating, Mike Reese, opinion analysis. Joe Milton for a modest draft pick return sparks a thought it was driven as much by QB room dynamics as anything else.
Wow.
We honestly can't read that tweet enough.
No.
QB, what does that mean? And how is it not Drake May wanted Joe Milton gone?
I don't know. Josh Dobbs didn't want him. They listen to Josh Dobbs. His first day, he's like, I'll sign here, but you better trade Joe Milton. Yeah, I'm guessing that wasn't it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you can jump in on this. I do want to mix
it more. Well, they've seen over the years, I mean, Brady Garoppolo, and you want to say, Brady was Tom Brady. But still, it's a quarterback not liking the backup. They get rid of the backup.
Favre and Rodgers in love.
Just here. Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi was not exactly the best relationship. Everybody wanted Zappi, even though maybe.
Bledsoe Brady.
It's tough. That's why Brady, I think, was probably at his happiest when it was Brian Hoyer, all due respect, or like, who else? Ryan Mallett? Like, when there was a guy that was like, for sure not going to even come close. Like, Brady could throw 10 straight picks and nobody would even say a peep about the backup quarterback. That's why Brian Hoyer was so great. That's why Brady loved him.
My brain stinks. Who were the early backups? I want to say...
Damon Heward.
Thank you. That's definitely who I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was going to say... John Freeze,
yeah. Rohan Davey.
There you go.
Yeah,
guys like that.
Rohan was like a relatively high pick.
I feel like Rohan
fourth
had
rounder,
a little Joe Milton in him. Big arm.
He could huck it.
Big arm.
He was a hoss. He was hoss of the week nominee, Rohan Davey.
20 years ahead of his time.
I know.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Why is Joe Milton gone? I don't think anybody's happy with the return.
No.
Like, it's not a great return. And maybe it's an okay return and you didn't like Joe Milton. I don't think anybody's like, wow, what a great return for a guy who flashed. Return.
But what's odd to me...
So why is he gone?
Well, because you see it on the text line and you see it on Twitter. What I don't understand is everybody being like, well, what'd you think you were going to get for him? That's not the question to me. It's, first of all, either why did you trade him or, like, did you have to trade him?
Right.
Why did you think going into this year, like, we got to get rid of him?
Right.
So every second year backup quarterback around the NFL is their team thinking, we should probably deal with this guy. Or, hey, no, maybe you have a backup quarterback. Hell, even Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin III were teammates longer.
It's true.
You know, like, I don't really get it.
It's a good point. One Keefspiracy here on the text line.
Let's hear it.
This is a good one.
Okay.
And I don't know. I saw our buddy JP in North Providence had a Keefspiracy on hold. I should have gone to him. I didn't. And he is he's hung up. But JP, if this is the same Keefspiracy, dial us back up. Or maybe it's JP texting. Or maybe he's got a separate one.
Mm-hmm.
You morons.
That's us.
Kraft sent him to the Cowboys so Jerry Jones could pledge support to push Kraft into the Hall of Fame.
I'm envisioning Jerry Jones doing a tush-push for Kraft at the goal line. Yeah, I don't know if that's it. I don't think Jerry Jones
is a bit of a make-good. Like, hey, Jerry, I'm going to give you
I think it's
Joe
unlikely.
Milton, and yeah. Jerry Jones says, let's get you into the Hall of Fame now.
Let's get this kiddo. Guy in. They're like, well, now that Bill Parcells is a team Hall of Famer, you deserve to be in the real Hall of Fame.
617-779-7937. We played a lot of Red Sox on the show today before the Joe Milton news.
Oh, Crochet was dominant.
Garrett Crochet, phenomenal last night, and I think the contract freed the Red Sox up to use Crochet the way they did. He had never pitched 8 innings in the big leagues. He said after the game, it's the first time since he was a volunteer at the University of Tennessee that he went 8 innings. He was one pitch away from a career high. And I think the contract allowed him to do that. He went 5 innings in his first start, 88 pitches. So I think there was a lot there. We haven't even talked about Devers yet. We can get into it. Our good pal Tommy is in Lynn, wants to talk Red Sox. What's up, Tommy?
What's up, Adam Jones? What's up, Keith?
Hello.
I want to say it's Autism Awareness Month, and you know I have autism, right, Jones? You've been on my podcast
I
before.
Have. Yes.
But anyways, hey, I like the Crochet sign-in. He's unbelievable, and he's a good pitcher that we have now. Finally, we have something that's really good. And I like the kid Campbell, Tristan Campbell. I like his extension. And now about Devers. He finally woke up. He finally hit the ball, and he finally did some things. It was going to take some time for him because he did face some tough pitching at the beginning of the season. You know that, guys. But anyways, have a wonderful day. Love you guys.
Tommy,
thank you, Tommy.
Tommy, great stuff. Big month for Tommy out there. Look, we always love hearing from Tommy in Lynn. On the... Yeah.
Crochet, Campbell, Devers really kind of hit the three big stories from the week.
He did. I don't know. I would disagree with Tommy on the great pitching they were facing early.
Yeah, Eovaldi.
Some decent pitching.
Yeah.
Jack Leiters looked pretty good. He had to leave his start the other day. Sure. So maybe I'll rethink it. But I don't think it was just about the pitching. He looked like crab. Let's start with Devers. You think Devers... I mean,
well, we were joking about the foul ball the other day.
It's hard to do any worse.
No, you can't do any worse. He's still hitting like 87 or whatever. But no, but like it's something. You got to start somewhere. Better you got to get that first.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Better than Casas.
How many guys did he leapfrog on the roster yesterday? Good point.
Oh, for
at least Connor Wong and Tristan Casas.
All right,
that's true.
How much did your concern level drop now that Devers put together a couple of hits, including a double yesterday? Or are you still like, it's just one game. I need to see more.
No, because it's early in the season, I think you kind of overreact to two or three games, but then you can also overreact the other way and be like, this guy was staring down the barrel because he got a hit in, his second at bat? So he started the year 0 for 20, right? 0 for 20 with 15 Ks to start the year. So that was brutal. But then he got a couple of hits, so like I'll take it. And that can kind of snowball. You went over the numbers yesterday of all the different guys that started 0 for 20, 0 for 25, whatever the numbers were. And the established guys all kind of found their level. Like, it stands out really early in the season, and you're like, oh, my God, this is going to be a long year. It's like, no, but because it is a long year, there's an opportunity for these guys to get hot for a week, and then it balances out. And then from there, you know, could Devers still hit? I think he's a 278 career hitter. Could he hit 260 this year, 265? Yeah. Of course he could.
So, I don't know.
Overall, yeah, I do feel a little bit better.
If yesterday my concern level was like a 10,
yeah.
a 9.5 or a 10.
Yeah. 7?
Yeah, was six? Like, I'm not.
Seven!
Damn it. It was right in front of me, right under my nose. Yeah,
like, let's see him get a few more hits. Like, yeah. You don't want to go back into a hole, but, like, that was good.
Let's hit a home run before I really, like, tramp down my concern.
So I think you're going to be wrong about
this. That's what this is
about. You said last night or tonight. I'm saying tomorrow. I think it kind of fits the storyline better, the home opener.
In front of the crowd?
Yes. People go nuts. They did a chant, Devers, Devers,
I did bet it last night. It didn't hit.
No.
I also
Nick's betting it every day.
I also bet him for two bases. Plus money this morning.
Look at you.
Two bases. Plus money this morning is plus money last night.
So that was a buying opportunity, not a sucker's bet.
Thank you. Let me tell you, I lost an unbelievable amount of bets last night.
Ham over ham. Well, that's because you were at the big Celtics game.
I was at the Celtics game.
Is that you right behind Chisholm? You sitting behind Chisholm?
No, I was a little higher up. I did have good perspective on where he was.
Got it.
Last night, though, I saw him and Wick, and at one point,
who's who?
Him and Wick's wife were both gone. I was like, "What's going on down there? Why is Wick sitting all by his lonesome on the sideline?"
Interesting. Just taking it all in.
Sick brag, bro.
Feet on the floor, taking in a good heat game.
I was like, "Let me check the fine print on this deal, this transaction here." I was in the building last night for the Celtics' 13th home loss, which we know, Keith, is a problematic loss if you want to win the championship.
Rich Keefe's stats and info department would tell you they would be the first team to ever win a title with that many home losses. Second team, right.
Just the Houston Rockets.
The 95 Rockets.
So they are
which
now,
also won back-to-back.
They did, but a lot of those other teams that won fewer have won back-to-back.
So
Devers plus money. You don't think today is the day he knocks one out of the yard?
Tomorrow's the day.
Okay. Well, when he knocks,
although he's lining it up a little bit better right now.
When he knocks one out of the yard, I'll lower my concerns. It already almost got cut in half. I went from a 10 panic meter to a 6.
It's coming.
Hit a home run tonight, like I've projected.
Yeah. Well, we looked at it yesterday. He had a home run. He had a home run in the season opener last year. Then he only had like a couple of home runs in the month of April. But then I think, was it May that he went crazy? Like he had a big May. So like I think that could definitely be happening.
On Campbell, who our pal Tommy and Lynn also mentioned, we got some news late in the show yesterday. A lot of breaking news on this show lately, actually.
Busy, busy times.
Christian Campbell yesterday in the grab bag.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, special time for the grab bag today. It's going to be at 11:45.
Wow.
Taking you right into Red Sox pregame. I'm sure they're thrilled about that.
Wow.
So that'll be today on the show. We had Campbell breaking news yesterday. We had the Joe Milton news today. Christian Campbell, his extension. Cora talked about this yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. Here's what he had to say about Christian Campbell.
He's a unique athlete, a unique player, excited about his future. And they work hard during spring training and obviously the first few days of the season to get it done. And everybody's excited. Yesterday we had a team function, team dinner. We were planning on doing that on the off day, regardless of if we're 5-0, 4-0-5, whatever. It's the off day, no families around. And we celebrated with the kid, you know. Actually, he picked up part of the tab, which is amazing.
Good kid. Everybody loves him.
It's good laughing there.
Yeah, nice little laugh. Yeah, Christian Campbell. Now, I do have my questions about it.
Well,
this has been my long-time working theory. This isn't new because he signed the deal. I was even talking about this before with other guys.
Correct.
Young baseball players.
Correct.
Why are you signing these deals early? I get it. That's a ton of money. But how much more money could you have made?
It was my favorite take yesterday on Christian Campbell. People are like, yeah, great signing. Go Red Sox. They're back to spending. Keith's like, I don't know. 10 years, $100 million, which is the max value of the deal. If both the options are picked up in years 9 and 10, Keith is like, 10 years, $100 million. Maybe he stinks.
Like, I don't know, dude. Like, wouldn't you think you could make a lot more? Look at the money that gets thrown around in free agency. And I know it's a long ways off, and so you want that money up front. But if he has the kind of career that a lot of people think that he's going to have, is he going to look back and be like, yeah, I cost myself $100 million. Yeah, I made $100 million, which is insane. It's a crazy number to wrap your head around. But did I leave $100 million on the table?
Yeah, maybe. So Acuña took a big deal early in Atlanta, right?
And he's getting paid peanuts for how good he is.
Okay, but he also, missed a whole year due to injury? And so you have some security that you wouldn't have had.
True.
Has a similar thing happened with Tatis? Tatis signed a ridiculous
early
deal.
No. He
was like 13 years, like $300 million or something. Like, so you're saying his was worth it?
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Like Mike Trout didn't get the free agency, but they made it worth his while. I think some guys do. Everybody saw the Campbell deal and said, wow, great deal for the Red Sox. Everybody said
that. Which is another way of saying bad deal for Campbell.
I think the, where's my guy Fernando Tatis? 14 years, $340 million.
Yeah, but same logic. If you think you're so good, play it out and make more money, no?
$340 million versus $100
million? Over 14 years? What's the AAV on that?
25, 24?
Before 25? After he got hit with a PED suspension and then hurt.
Yeah, good point. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, $25 million. That's better than 10 for Campbell.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Two and a half times.
Can you, did you have Acuna's? What did Acuna sign for?
I guess it's like 100.
I got
a So that's a better comp. You're right. Tatis maybe isn't the best comp. I'm just trying to think of guys who got
Acuna
paid.
Acuna is. Is he on this list? top salaries? I got to keep scrolling.
Paid for 100.
Okay, so similar.
Terrible.
That's a bad deal.
Terrible. What was he, like 60-60?
I mean, if he bet on himself, he has two ACL injuries and he's hurt all the time.
That's what I'm saying. So, but you could look at it and say he's worth more when he's healthy, but you could also look at it and say the guy's been hurt basically since he signed it.
So, okay, so does Campbell know he's got a whole bunch of injuries coming?
I don't know.
Like, some of these guys maybe know.
Maybe he doesn't know they're coming, but maybe he wants security in case they're coming, like with Acuna.
In 2023, Acuna had 41 home runs, 73 steals, and was the MVP of the league. And he's making $12 million bucks.
Forget 40-40.
Like, dude.
40-70.
40-70.
Nice.
Yeah, it's insane. He was the MVP. And now he's getting paid. The Braves give him $12 million.
Okay, but
he would have paid the rehab.
Right, but he would have made what? On an arbitration.
So this is why I get it more for pitchers.
I like your take. Okay. I'm not
budget off of this. And maybe he's great, but he'll be super underpaid. Either way, it's a good team deal. Now, because whatever, you end up having to eat the money a little bit. You paid Ruznay Castillo more money per year.
What do you got? Do people not listen? You guys understand how buying out arbitration works, right?
No. Can you explain it to us?
So the Padres bought out arbitration and they gave Tatis $325 million or whatever it was. So do you understand how buying out arbitration works?
I know.
Like, and Tatis was more established, right? Did he have a year under his belt before he signed? I mean, Campbell has a handful of games. My big takeaway from this, why are Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer? Meyer, by the way, pissed. Maybe too strong.
Yeah.
But not happy. Thinks he should have been on the big league roster.
He's right.
So pissed is too strong. But he thought he deserved to be on the big league roster. Why are Meyer and Anthony in AAA hitting home runs every other night?
Mm-hmm.
And why is Christian Campbell here?
Hmm.
He was willing to play ball on a contract. Those guys are going to play it out year to year. The Red Sox know that. They're like, screw you guys. We're not starting your service time. We're not starting the clock because you guys aren't going to play ball with us on a contract. So wait it out in Worcester. Have fun at Polar Park. Nacho Man and everything else. Great take.
Yeah.
Great experience. We loved it last
week. Fun.
You guys don't want to play ball on a contract? Have fun in Worcester. Christian Campbell, you'll play ball on a contract? Take a way under market deal? Great. You're in the big leagues. Congrats, kid.
Friend of the show, Marcelo Meyer. We met him one time.
Maybe our best friend.
Best bud.
Ice is my best friend.
Would you guess, just meeting him the one time, that he might be somebody that waits inside the mat? Yeah. Is that the sense that you got?
1,000%.
You never know. Things can change.
That guy's not playing ball on a deal.
No. I think he's
going
to get
some
money.
He's going year to year and squeezing every dime out of the Red Sox. Yep. 617-779-7937. A little bit of Red Sox mixed in with all of our Joe Milton takes. Did Drake May want Joe Milton gone? Wait. Joe Milton's gone? He's a Dallas Cowboy?
Huh?
Are you a fan of that, Keith? Yes or no?
No.
Me neither.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
I think the odds on favorite, and you would agree with this, and so would all you football fans out there, the Patriots are first going to try to trade down because they probably understand that Will Campbell could be had at 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe even 9. And if you don't get Will Campbell, you might get a representative tackle in Armin Membo. So whichever one of those two players, they could pop there. But to me, the way Vrabel spoke about Will Campbell, the things that he has said about stabilizing the line. So I think you look at what's the safest thing for the Patriots to do. It would be to draft Campbell.
Tom Curran on the Pats Interference podcast with Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald. Curran will be on WEEI afternoons today or not, actually, with the Red Sox game. I actually wonder how that goes.
I'm not sure.
Oh, whatever. Postponed? He's normally on Thursdays.
Okay.
He's with us every Tuesday on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. Safe isn't always the right way to go. I mean, the Red Sox could have played it safe with Garrett Crochet, and I would have thought that was wrong. The safe thing to do is wait it out, watch his starts, see where it goes. And I'd rather take some risk and paying him now. I think that'd be the right move. So safe isn't always the right way to go about it. We'll get into what the Patriots are doing at number four. Just a reminder, if you're just tuning in or unaware, Patriots traded Joe Milton to the Dallas Cowboys today for a fifth rounder. They had to throw in a seventh rounder. He was a sixth rounder a year ago.
Yeah, I don't like it.
On the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart, if all of that's confusing and jumbled in your head, they basically moved up half a round. They improved a half a round from the initial draft capital they put into Joe Milton, which to me is not enough, and to Keith is not enough. Neither of us are saying don't trade him. You can't trade him. He's the future here.
Right.
But I said this weeks ago. I think we said it yesterday when we were talking about it. If you're not getting a day two pick, a third rounder, if you're not getting at least that, I personally don't think it's worth it. I'd rather work with him for another year, see what he has for another year, try to build up his trade value with another preseason or who knows, another spot start in December.
Right.
And revisit a year from now.
What's the rush to trade him?
Well, so what is the rush to trade him? I think that's the real question.
Because you drafted him last year, and I guess this is where it gets a little interesting, is because Elliott Wolf drafted him last year. Gerard Mayo is the coach, so that has obviously changed. The guy in charge of the roster is different, so maybe they just don't like him. Maybe it's as simple as that. But you drafted him last year knowing that Drake May was in the same draft class and was likely to be the starter. So the outlook essentially was he will be the backup. That's how I viewed it. And he actually probably improved more than I would have guessed for having, you know, no real game action until the very end. And yes, he's out there against second, third string defense for the Bills. But guess what? He's also a second or third string player. And so and he looked pretty good.
He looked awesome. He'd be awesome in that game.
Yes.
Considering, I mean, again, it was third stringers probably trying to lose.
Yeah.
But in that game, for whatever it was worth, he was the best player on the field.
Right.
And it wasn't close.
So I'm certainly not saying he's untradeable. I just feel like for what they got in return, just keeping him as the backup, developmental backup, however you want to describe him, is more valuable to the overall team than just shipping him off to Dallas so you can move up a few spots in day three of the draft. So that's why, and Mike Reese is the one that pointed this out on Twitter, QB room dynamics.
Hmm.
And let's put Josh Dobbs to the side. I don't think it has anything to do with anything. He is now the backup. He's now the only other quarterback on the roster. But do you think Drake May was wild about Robert Kraft saying, hey, maybe we have two quarterbacks?
No, I do not.
I thought they only had two players, Drake May and Christian Gonzalez. And meanwhile, Kraft saying they got two quarterbacks. So that is strange. The last time we had two young quarterbacks on the roster, Mac Jones was the first round pick. Bailey Zappe was the fourth rounder, and he was way more popular.
Yeah.
People like Zappe way more than Mac Jones, and I don't think it's there. Listen, Drake May better than Joe Milton, but something's off for them to trade him for nothing.
Okay, so QB room dynamics. I don't believe this, but I'll allow for QB room dynamics could be Milton doesn't want to be third string. and he knows he's going to be third string because they signed Josh Dobbs, that would be my answer too.
Yeah.
If you're worried about that dynamic where Milton's sitting and stewing third on the depth chart, I wouldn't trade him. I'd say, tough. You're here.
Like, you're not going to go beat out Dak Prescott. So you want to sit here or sit there?
You're a sixth-round pick. Yeah. Sit. Tough. You don't like it? Tough. That's what I would say. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's possible. The reason I would follow through and trade him is if my star quarterback, star might be too strong, yep. my starting quarterback,
sure.
and what the Crafts hope is the face of the franchise, and Vrabel hopes is the face of the franchise, if he's not happy with Joe Milton on the roster and the dynamic, to use Mike Reese's word, then I would move him. I mean, the other possibility, independent of Reese's tweet, is that Mike Vrabel got here and he's like, the kid can't play. I don't care what you think, Elliot. The kid can't play. This is the best we're going to get for him. His trade value is only going to go down.
Yeah.
Strike while the iron's hot. Yeah, it's only a fifth-round pick, but whatever. We're taking it. It's better than getting nothing for him in a year or two because the kid can't play. That's possible.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't be itching to move him. I'd still want to see it through. I think the most likely thing is Drake May doesn't want him here. I think that's the most likely thing.
Josh McDaniels have any say in this? I mean, he'd be the one working with
McDaniels
these guys.
McDaniels could look at him too and be like, the kid can't play.
Yeah.
Fine. Does it look like he can't play? And I know a lot of people.
Seems like there's something there.
A lot of people say it's one game. It's not. It was training camp where he stood out. It was the preseason where I thought he looked pretty good. So it was one NFL game. And yeah, that's all we have to go on along with the preseason. Every time I've gotten to put eyes on him, and I wasn't down there at training camp every day. I watched three preseason games and I watched him against Buffalo. Every time I got to see him, it doesn't look like he can't play to me. But again, I'm not a professional with this. I don't know.
I don't remember hearing anything. I don't remember hearing a peep out of him all year, right? The wide receivers were popping off and right.
I think he came out after the final game of the year and was pretty, he was giving his teammates a lot of credit and was pretty happy about the situation.
So like, I don't think it's one of those. You would think on the one hand, he's like, well, he's not good enough to be disgruntled, but the Patriots have had a long line of guys, whether it was N'Keal Harry, Tyquan Thornton, Jalen Polk, a bunch of those guys have said stuff. So I don't think that's really the case with Milton. It's going to be funny, though, later this month, NFL draft, with, let's call it the fifth-round pick that they get back, or even their sixth-round pick, if they take another quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
You kind of can't, because then it's going to be like, that guy better be a lot better than Joe Milton,
I would play the Belichick game where the Garoppolo pick turned into like eight million different things.
Trade it again, and then it's like you can't trace it back.
I wouldn't take a quarterback with the pick in return for Joe Milton.
Yeah.
A little advice to Vrabel. Yeah. I wouldn't do that. John's in Connecticut. Hello, John.
Hi, how you doing, guys? So this is my theory. Maybe they're trying to build up some draft capital. They're trying to take that fifth-round pick, maybe take one of the third-round picks, and then the second round, which is the 30th overall, move back into the first round to get that offensive lineman that could slip down a little bit. Maybe that Josh Simmons, Simmons, who had the injury problem, maybe Calvin Banks.
John, not a bad theory. Why do they need to do it now? That's not a bad theory. Why not see it through with Milton? Well, we need as much draft capital as we can because we're moving up from 38 into the first round.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I thought you would have wanted to just take a pick without giving up a pick. Like, if we're playing that game and we're just moving around day three picks, you moved up, but you didn't gain or net any picks.
Good point.
So, like, you're still dealing with the same number of picks. If you're trying to either get back into the first round or you're trying to, you know, move up from the fourth round into day two of the draft, something like that. Wouldn't you just want an extra pick and not just swapping them?
Yes, number one. And number two, my answer to that, maybe that's how the Patriots are thinking. It's a good theory. My answer would be, well, you already had a fifth rounder, so you already could move up, and I'd rather lose the fifth rounder and keep Milton, is what my answer to that. But maybe that's how the Patriots are thinking about it. Real quick, just to pay off what Curran was saying there. Curran's like, yeah, the safe pick is Campbell at four. Breer's been putting out there, it's more and more likely that Carter and Hunter go in the top three, and neither one is available to the Patriots at four. I do wonder this, and you brought this up a lot, Keith. You're like, I think three quarterbacks is more likely go in the top three than only one goes in the top three. We'll see if that's right.
Yeah.
But you've said if only one goes in the top three, that means the Patriots are on the clock at four, and Shedeur Sanders is likely sitting there.
I think there's a trade possible.
Well, Rap Sheet today has been drumming up that the Saints are in on a quarterback at nine.
Yeah.
And maybe if Sanders falls to four, maybe nine and four is a swap, and then you're getting Campbell at nine, and that I could wrap my head around. And you pick up draft capital like that I could wrap my head around.
Yeah, and that's just not only this year, but that's where you talk about, are you getting next year's one from them? Are you getting whatever? Like, so there's a lot of different possibilities there. That's why I never really thought, you know, once you got over the fact, maybe you haven't, that they aren't picking one overall, which they should have. Joe Milton's the one that got us into this mess. But if at four, either you have the option of Hunter or Abdul Carter, or you're having somebody come up to trade for you where they don't have to give up as much to go up to one, two, or three to get their quarterback. And then Shedeur Sanders at four, like that's good. Like people usually go crazy trading for quarterbacks. So not a terrible spot to be in either way.
No, it's not. In other words, I want Hunter or Carter, but if they're not there, maybe a team like the Saints would move up the board to take a quarterback because a quarterback dropped. That's a good way to look at it. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. Red Sox pregame starts a little after noon. First pitch a little after 1 o'clock in Baltimore, weather permitting here today on WEEI. So when we come back at a very special time, it's time for Grab Bag.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Listening to Jones and Keefe sure does help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody grabs your bag. And they always grab your bag. You want to be where you can see. Your troubles are all a drag. You want to go where everybody grabs your bag.
It's time. It's time for Grab Bag.
Wow, how about this? An early Grab Bag. It's an early departure here on Jones and Keefe. Red Sox baseball coming your way at high noon. Hand things off. Red Sox pregame first pitch from Baltimore a little after 1. Of course, a day game tomorrow, home opener.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Jones will be down at the old Casket Flagon before the game. That'll be a, 105 pregame? 205 first pitch, give about?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. We'll go a little past 1 o'clock at the Cask, presented by Coors Light. We're very excited to be there. If you need a spot before the game, to stop by, say hello, hang out before the game. We'll be there tomorrow.
Normally, Grab Bag around 1:30. We've decided to move it up a little bit this time around, including Jones, the Boston Celtics, road warriors, not exactly home warriors.
No,
very successful, maybe the most successful trip of all time. They just finished on the road,
the most in franchise history. Yeah. Although I wonder how many six-game road trips they've had.
It does seem very specific, but whatever, we'll take it.
But keep going,
6-0 on the road, they come home, and they get smoked by the Miami Heat in the Miami Vice uniforms. You were there. You were in attendance.
I was there. I was loving the uniform.
You and the new owner.
That's a top 16 all-time uniform in the history of the sport. Mm-hmm. If you need proof on that, just look at the Jones and Keefe bracket. You can still see
the bracket.
You still see the shambles of that thing on social media. Now, my question coming out of the game, beyond the Celtics losing another game at home, 13, that would be the most, if they repeat and win a championship, that would be the most ever home losses by an NBA champion outside of the 95 Rockets or whatever it was, the second Hakeem team. My question coming out of the game, I didn't love what I heard from Jaylen Brown after the game.
Oh, no.
About his knee and how he's playing through pain, and this is something he's going to have to deal with, and he just sat out the last game in Memphis, and now he's back out there yesterday.
Back in.
And I thought he looked pretty good in the game. I guess I've
been 24 points.
I was going to say, I got to refamiliarize myself on the actual numbers, but I thought he looked good watching him last night. I didn't notice him laboring or anything, but those comments are, I would say, a little scary when you're talking about the guy who was the Eastern Conference MVP and NBA Finals MVP last year.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful grab bag.
Boston Bruins, Jones, have lost 9 in a row. They are nice really team. Struggling. They are the worst team in the Eastern Conference. They're not going to be able to catch the Sharks or the Blackhawks.
No.
I mean, those are just really
not in the standings, but maybe the ping pong balls bounce your way and you win the lottery.
The ping pong balls could bounce their way, but the Bees are in action tonight against their greatest rival, the Montreal Canadiens, who are right in the thick of a playoff race. So they could play spoiler or lose their 10th in a row.
More likely not. They're not playing spoiler. Have you paid attention to what Monty's doing in St. Louis, by the way? Our guy Ray was tweeting at us the other day. He's a big fan of the show. I thought at last check, I don't know if they've lost since then, I thought at last check they won 10 in a row.
They have won 10 straight. That is true.
St. Louis has won 10 in a row, and they are securely in wild card picture. So
Cassidy's already won the division, I think. Mm-hmm. Or, right? Well, Bruce Cassidy's won the division.
Well, Andy's won a cup, but yes.
Well, I'm talking about for this year. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what you're doing. But that next guy should be pretty good. Whoever they hire next, I bet will be good somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The next guy will be decent here and better somewhere else. Yeah. Whoever that is. Yeah,
that's
good point.
That's what it feels like.
Good point. Yeah.
Grab bag on Jones and Keefe.
No. Yeah, they keep you guessing some of these ones. All right, Jones, allow me to introduce you and maybe some of our listeners to this next gentleman.
Oh.
Red Sox Twitter might be very well aware of who this is, but this he's making our Jones and Keefe debut here in the grab bag is a man named Hogdale.
Hogdale?
Hogdale. He's a massive Red Sox fan. It's popped up on Twitter. I thought it was just too good to pass up.
Okay.
So apparently what Hogdale does is he on Twitch will sort of watch the Red Sox games. He doesn't have the game on the Twitch because, you know, that would obviously be copyright flags. Yeah. I mean, can't do that.
MLB would come up.
But he does provide he does provide his own play-by-play.
Nice.
So I'm thinking if Will Fleming ever needs a day off, it's 162 games. It's a lot of games.
I don't think Mike Monaco is going to like this take, but keep going.
Well, you can have two guys in the booth. Okay. Have Monaco up there.
Sure.
There's a lot of, you know, because Middlebrooks might be doing I'm not trying to lose anybody a job, Jones.
No.
Middlebrooks does a Nesson game. Monaco's in there. Fleming's on vacation.
Just keep Hogdale on your radar.
I'm calling Hogdale. You're like, I got to hear him first before I sign off on this. Here's Hogdale calling Rafael Devers' first hit of the season.
Big moment.
2-1. Swung on. Scorches it. Right field. That'll be Braffy's. First base hit of the year, and should be extra bases. Saint on Rafael is at third. Rafi's going to second. Said he's coming home. He's going to be in. Let's go, boys. An RBI double for Rafael Devers. He breaks the slump. Let's go.
All right, so that we'd have to talk to him about. Well, we have to say, listen, you can't do that on the WEEI.
No, but just on the app.
Yeah.
Yeah, just on the
just
Odyssey
app.
Yeah,
let it fly.
Work a little blue on the Odyssey app. That's
YouTube,
true.
YouTube, anything goes. But so that's our Hogdale call of the day.
Hogdale call of the day. Yeah, yeah. New daily feature in the grab bag.
So I think there could be more of that.
I like it quite a bit.
Okay, good.
I'll tell you, I prefer his approach to like the Syracuse robot approach.
Yeah,
you
know,
Newhouse, so many guys just
more
get their
personality
job.
In this.
You go to Newhouse, you just get handed a play-by-play job is how I envision it works anyway.
What do you think?
And it's a bit of jealousy on my part, but I like this guy. Grinding, working his way up. Hogdale call of the day. I love it.
What do you think the Syracuse professor's notes would be for Hogdale?
I don't.
Like, you sound like you're too into it. You sound like you're actually enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah.
We can't have that.
You have a personality.
You have too much personality.
Yeah, why?
Profanity.
You need to sound like the other 10 guys before you. See, the guys in the class, they all sound the same, and we like that.
Yeah.
We need more of that.
Less personality and don't even think about profanity.
That toast needs to be more dry.
Said he's coming home. He's going to be in. Let's go, boys.
He's into it.
Let's go, boys.
Let's go, boys.
I like it.
So there you go. There's your Hogdale.
Nice.
Hogdale.
This is...
grab bag.
Some of them were quick. Shohei Ohtani. There's no Hogdale call of this, but Shohei Ohtani walk-off dong for the Dodgers. And how about this? Two teams that we put in our top tier at the beginning of the season, Dodgers Braves. Two different directions. Dodgers 8-0 after the walk-off
They're 8-0.
They're 8-0 to start the year. The Braves 0-7.
Yikes. That's why I was a Phillies guy. That's why I had the Phillies winning the World
Series.
Yeah,
you're Series. On the
Phillies. I wasn't on Atlanta.
You were right about that.
But okay, wow. So yeah. Ohtani walks it off. That's good for, I think, Billy's dong draft pool team, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He took Ohtani first overall. He let Judge drop right into my lap, number two. You were catching some strays about that last night, Billy, at Sully's prior to the Celtics game.
Wow.
But good home run there.
Last laugh, though.
Could have at least put me on speakerphone.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, Bill, my buddy's got something to say about your dong draft.
I'm a genie in a grab bag. Baby, come on and let me out.
Alexander Ovechkin scored another goal. He's up to 892. He is three shy of Wayne Gretzky's all-time record.
Yeah, I got a lot of flack yesterday. I said, I don't think a Gretzky is a goal scorer first. I have zero problem with Ovechkin.
He's the greatest goal scorer of all time.
No, I know, but
until now.
But do you think of him as a goal scorer first?
I think of him as the great one, John.
Yeah, that's fine. He can be the greatest. He's still the greatest player of all time, whether he has the goal record or not.
Don't get sensitive about it.
I just think of him as more of a setup guy. I have zero problem with Ovechkin passing him.
Mm-hmm. EA grab bag. It's in the game.
The United States will host the Women's World Cup in 2031.
Nice.
You in on that?
No.
Grab bag.
Wins. Flawless victory. Fatality.
Is Aaron Rodgers still a free agent?
Gotta be.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Every day that I'm in making
grab bag.
Top NBA performers from last night. Isaiah Collier, 22 points, 10 assists for Utah. Tyler Hero, 25 points, 6 boards, 9 dimes for Miami. Tyrese Halliburton, 22 points, 10 assists. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 33 points, 6 rebounds. And Anthony Davis, 34 points, 15 boards in a win for the Mavericks over the Hawks.
Put me down for my guy, AD. I still like that trade. Good trade, Dallas. Wow,
yeah, no, that was a good one.
Good one.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, we're going with the guy who played for the Orioles. I'm going to try to theme it up a little bit
Cal
more.
Ripken.
So, son of a gun. Way to go, Jones. No, he was an outfielder.
Billy Ripken. Oh,
he was an outfielder. Yeah. Not a Ripken. Not related to the Ripkens at all. Played for, in addition to the Orioles, the Cubs, Reds, Blue Jays, Cardinals, Brewers, Nationals. He was a zero-time All-Star, zero-time MVP vote-getter.
Mike Devereaux.
No. However, he did have a 2020 season. He had 24 home runs and 32 steals with the Cubs 1 year. He had a cup of coffee in 2000, and he was all done after the 2011 season.
Jay Gibbons.
No, good one.
I think Jay Gibbons has been in the maybe he's been in there before.
He has.
Yeah. That doesn't mean a thing.
I asked Nick before I said it.
Yeah. Not Nick Markakis.
Not Nick Markakis.
He didn't steal that many bags.
His first year in Baltimore was 06, where he had 45 steals.
Dang.
16 home runs. Career 252 hitter.
Okay.
Career 118 home runs. 218
I was
steals.
I got to check a little earlier than normal because we have a hard out today with Red Sox pregame. It's Corey Patterson.
He got it.
Good job. Good job, Chef Boyardee in the Twitch chat. Corey Patterson.
My cousin pitched against him down in Atlanta.
What was that?
He watches Chef Boyardee.
Chef Boyardee might. He's in there.
Loves the random baseball player of the day. Every day in the grab bag here on Jones and Keith. Stay tuned. You got Red Sox pregame here. A little afternoon baseball. Red Sox and Orioles from Camden Yards. We're live tomorrow at the cast. Stop by. Say hello. That's 10 a.m. right here on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.